Talk with Phil Hendry on Coast to Coast PM from west of the Rockies. Dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, 1-800-449-8686. And to talk to Phil here in the studio or to talk to yourself, dial 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show on the Premier Radio Networks.
All right. Feels good when you have that intro like that. You just, it's big time. Thanks. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. So Dr. Laura broadcasts from the same facility that I broadcast from, and she sent me a flower the other day, and I'm very happy to tell you that, and I'm happy to tell you why. You guys didn't want me to say why. Is that right? I'm not supposed to say why she sent me the flower? I'll do whatever you guys ask me to do, man. My ass is in your hands? Your hands are on my ass? Well, in any event, for the next hour, I'll do whatever you guys want me to do. What do you want me to do? Don't say why? All right, she sent me a flower. Okay, moving along. And I was just thinking to myself, because I sit in my office, and we, what you call, prep the show. And I put big, big, fat, black quotation marks around that word prep the show every afternoon. And on into the early evening hours, and after she's off the air, she walks by with many of her people who work on her crew for her show. And I was noting to Melissa Morgan, who writes for our show, that Dr. Laura's rear end is very attractive. And she said, say that and see what kind of flower you get this time. So I've said it, and what's his name in there? I forget his name because he did such a bad job butchering the screening job on my show yesterday. What's your name? Craig Taylor. Craig said to me, hey, you're a great engineer, man. You just don't know how to answer a phone, that's all. No, Craig said to me, you know, the office, when I walk in there in the afternoon, the stench is like to set you free, man. So see if she'll send you a nice big bouquet of flowers. Say a whole bunch of nice things about her. I don't mind telling you what I said about her. I said that she's on the air to stay, and you're not going to get her off the air. And if you don't like the show, turn it off. And if you're jive enough to boycott a radio show, it means you don't get the nature of radio and entertainment in the first place. And that means you must have been taking the show seriously in the first place. And if you are taking the show seriously in the first place, then all of a sudden you feel betrayed by the show later on. And you know, what's that all about? So find a life. And I also mentioned that the TV show she's doing, which is supposed to debut this fall, I guess, I don't know, is going to have the highest single cum of any debuting television show in memory. There's going to be more people watching that thing. Even my good man Jeff Cabot here. And Jeff, all he does is sit at home and listen to that Berkeley public radio station. And he's going to be tuning in Dr. Laura, isn't that right? Well, everybody is, because it's all this stuff that's been happening. You people out there that have boycotted or have encouraged boycotts of that show, you have guaranteed one of the highest tune-in factors in the history of man on this planet. God, it'll be in the millions. Billions of people will be tuning in to find out what's the brouhaha about that TV show that you wanted to go away quietly. It ain't going away quietly. It's going to explode on the scene, baby, like, oh, man. It's going to be cool. Now, Fred Schuster, the Daily News, was going to come in and interview me today, and I appreciate that very much, Fred. I realize you had an emergency and you couldn't make it. A photographer was here. Thanks so very much for sending that guy over, but you're not running those pictures without the story. And something tells me you bailed on this because you had something better to do, like, tweezing nose hairs or something. You want to go have yourself a hamburger at a bowling alley that's opening up? Anything but come in here and talk to me. That's okay. I appreciate it, Fred. Appreciate your interest. And to the guy that's been calling, not been calling, but I just found out that a guy had called, a writer for a weekly newspaper, and this guy did his very best about 2 years ago to destroy my reputation, the reputation of my marriage and my career, with an article that he wrote that was factually incorrect from top to bottom, libeled me liberally. This clown calls up. Get a load of this. This guy calls recently, and he wants to do a cover story about me in the show. I just found this out. I says, you know, this takes some brass balls. It takes balls the size of your head, Jeff, for a guy to call up and say he wants to interview Phil Hendry and do a cover story. Not that I am not flattered, but unfortunately, how do you trust a guy like that? I can't trust a guy like that. So I'm not going to talk to him. But however, the good trade-off, it's not even a trade-off. Good old Fred from the Daily News. That's big time. Now, if you give me a cover, Fred. However, so we really appreciate that. And then I was regaling everybody with stories of Larry King's mugshot that was hanging in the control room of the radio station I worked at in Miami. Larry King had a mugshot because Larry King, I guess, if you got a mugshot, does that mean you were arrested? Now, let me put it this way. It was a picture of the front and the side of his head. And that was back in the day when he worked down there in Miami. So they thought that was interesting because we were discussing his new kid. And we're also going to be talking about that a little bit later on. Guys that have kids when they're really, really old. By the way, our swimming pool, I hate it. I hate the design and I hate the idea that I ever decided to put one in. I hate the fact that I just hate the fact that I even talk about it. I had decided that, you know, that one of the things that I always wanted was to be able to swim in the summertime, so we were going to bite the bullet and put in a pool. Well, the design on this thing sucks. So, it sucks. I don't know what was wrong with me. And when they put a hole in the backyard, man, there's nothing you can do about it. So I don't want to bore you with the details on that. It stinks. Things aren't going too good at my house these days. Can't afford the freaking house. I shouldn't have put the pool in. We got no furniture. My wife's now going to outlet stores to get a desk for our son because suddenly we got to scramble around and put some furniture in this barn that I moved into. What a barn! I hate this thing. We needed more space. We wanted more bedrooms. We had to have a house so the kids would have a nice big house. You know what? It's a big, ugly barn. And the people that built it, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to mention any names because I guess that means what? I'll get sued? Is that another lawsuit? But the people that built the house that I live in, you know who you are. You guys couldn't build a doghouse. You guys couldn't put up an Andy Gump. You cats built this thing that put me in the hole for the rest of my life, and lights don't turn on, and tiles are cracked, and pipes are leaking, and the whole concrete steps out in front of my house, a big-ass crack running through the middle of it. You know, I used to pour cement when I was a kid, when I was 19, 20. I used to be a cement finisher. I know a little bit about pouring concrete. This is a brand spanking new house, and it ain't cheap, and there's a crack running right down the middle of it. Which probably means the foundation of the house is undermined. Guys, believe me, price doesn't mean anything. Especially when you're buying a new house. Just because you're paying a certain piece of change, just because the tab on a house is a certain number with a whole bunch of zeros, it doesn't mean you're getting quality. It means there's some jive ass who is able to take you over to Barrel for a few bucks and he's out of the country before you turn on the first light. And that's the thing, the company that built this house, they're based in another country. I don't want to mention where it is, but the view from the Eiffel Tower is just wonderful this time of year. I got a crack running through the cement. So I tried to call up the guy that did the cement work. Well, I don't get any call back. It's not warranted. All kinds of crap. Who needs it, you know? And the house that we used to live in, the one that we moved out, I loved that house. I loved it. I put my sweat, my blood, my love into that house. It was a house that we could grow into. It was a house that we could do some work with. It was an old house, yeah. It was a drafty old house, kind of smelled a little moldy. I don't care, man. I liked it. And I moved from there into this big, ugly, freaking warehouse. And every time I turn around and there's something wrong and you want to get something done, you got to call and go through the warranty office and the guy tells you it's 30 to 60 days and put it into writing and mail it to us. I had a list of crap that was wrong with that house that I mailed to this dude. Well, guess what? We didn't get it, Mr. Hendry. Oh, is that right? Oh, we didn't, okay. Could you fax it to us? Fax it. Are you going to get the fax? Is anybody there to get the fax? Well, you're being a real smartass, Mr. Hendry. Well, yes, of course, I guess I am. I'm sorry. It's in my nature. I'll fax it. I won't have any comment. But, of course, I did. At the very bottom, I put, screw you. And I faxed it over, and they'll get around to it in 60 days, because that's the whole deal with the way the warranty works, and, you know, rum ba boom ba boom ba boom. And you got to go according to the book, man. And then they'll come over after 60 days. They'll have some clown nosing around and go, well, nothing I can do about it, and then he'll split. And that's the warranty service that you'll get. Hot water. Forget about that. Turn on a shower. Pfft, maybe you'll get a little hot, maybe not. They got a thing called a recirculating pump near my water heater. That's supposed to guarantee that you get hot water to the far end of the house. I'm halfway through a shower the other day, and somebody, I forget who, someone took a leak and flushed a toilet, and suddenly I was in the Arctic. It was nothing but ice-cold water pouring out of that thing. And that's because, you know, somebody had a glass of water someplace else. So, and not only that, but here I am alone. There's all the people that live in this, where we moved. What do you mean, was there shrinkage? You bet there was shrinkage. You get that much cold water pouring on your naked body, on your naked scrotalia, and you're telling me there ain't no shrinkage? Get a life. Get real. So, and everybody on the block feels the same way. Crap can construction, top to freaking bottom. And guess what? I'm stuck. I'm stuck in this thing because my wife likes it. Now, I thought about the idea of bulldozing the whole thing and starting again. I could live on a tent. I own the dirt. I could pitch a tent. I could sit out there like General Lee waiting to charge up the hill or something. You know those old Civil War pictures where you see a guy in full dress sitting under a tent with a cup of coffee? They're all sitting around with their legs folded, you know, and there's a tent and there's like a black guy pouring tea. That's what I want to do. I want to get into like a little string tie, grow a mustache, have that black and white lithograph with my wife and kids looking like something out of a dust bowl, and I'll have my legs crossed and these, you know, I don't want to say black because I know we live in the 21st century. Let's say Mexican. And he's pouring I'm kidding. Giving me a little cup of tea, and there's the picture of the family. Phil Henry Homesteading 2000. It's nuts. And I'm telling you right now, when the day comes, Mike, that you and Gretchen go out there into the world to purchase your first home, and you see some big sign that says, come to Diaper Creek from the mid-threes, you know, and you see those signs off the freeway. Beautiful Diaper Creek, 2, 3, and 4-bedroom homes from the mid-twos. And you'll go, and there'll be a woman with a little bow tie, and she'll be holding a clipboard to her chest. Uh-huh. And look what you can do with the patio here. And the backyard is about the size of a coffin. You can step into it and close a lid. That's the backyard. But you know what you can do out here with? It's small. Yeah, it's a very small lot. You can stick a rabbit in the ground if somebody comes over and boils one. I don't know what your husband's up to lately, but it's bound to happen. So, in other words, that's the kind of stuff you're going to get. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. I'm Phil Henry. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I'm reading a book right now. And what do you think of that? 1-800-449... No, I'm kidding. I'm reading a book right now, and it's called The 12-Year Reich. And it's a social history of Nazi Germany. I don't know why, but I find it very relaxing, edifying, and very intriguing and interesting reading about Nazi Germany and the permutations of that society. Now, before you say, aha, now it's all falling into place, now it makes sense, because we always knew Henry was a racist, a misogynist, a white Aryan piece of crap. No, the fact is, I read and revel in their failures. I really do. I like to, first of all, read about how this happened, and then, you know, and then I really get into it when they start failing and flopping, and especially the part where the American soldiers forced the townspeople of Landsberg, Germany, to go into the concentration camp and bury the bodies. That's the best. That's the best. Who's the guy who did that? That guy ought to be given a Congressional Medal of Honor. That was great. I think it was Eisenhower. Oh, you mean they elected him president? I swear to God, there was a concentration camp in Landsberg, Germany. The American troops liberated it, saw what had happened, and whoever the head guy was, he said, you get every one of those people that live in that town, you bring them over here, they're going to start burying bodies, all of them. Every one of those little shopkeepers and Swiss misses, bring them on over here, they're going to start digging holes and burying bodies. It was fantastic. But anyway, I digress, because the real reason why I wanted to bring this up is that, because I was talking about my house, the Nazis, and this is a social history now of Germany. So there's nothing having to do with war so much as what life was like in Germany during the 12-year Reich, the time that Adolf Hitler was in charge and the Nazis were in charge. They had this grand design for a subdivision. I mean, like a suburban development outside of Berlin and downtown Munich, you know. Maybe you'd hear an ad on the radio, I don't know, saying, come on out to see the Tyrolean beautiful peasant houses here in beautiful downtown Landsberg. Just take the Autobahn 3 miles south, exit, Avenue 52, and you're there. So they had this thing, and one of the guys later on said, Jesus, you talk about Hitler's taste was in his rear end on this thing, because you couldn't do anything artistic in Germany without it going through the Führer, because he figured he was the man. Hitler was an artist as a punk kid sitting on the streets in Vienna. He figured he could paint people. He was a postcard artist. He was some bum sitting around doing bad paintings, but he, you know, became the leader of a country, so naturally this guy's taste was what everybody went for. So they had these Tyrolean little huts with thatched roofs and wood beams and the whole Swiss Miss look. This was, like in America, here in L.A., what do you think? Like, your average subdivision, what, Mediterranean? That's kind of what they're going for now, right? They're going for the Mediterranean whatever. In Germany, it's like, and I can almost see him standing there in the middle. Yeah, let's get the hardwood floor, the Tyrolean beam. I love something thatched. I love what you're doing with that. No, I love that. The trash compactor and the crematorium. No, I don't know what crematorium, but you know. So they had that going on, and it was goofy. These goofball ideas that they had. And then there's another picture. Check it out. There's another picture. They were unveiling the Volkswagen at some 1938 German exposition. There's guys in the SS Death's Head Skull uniforms with their boots up on the fenders of these VW bugs that, you know, used to see hippies driving around in. This, the new 1936 Volkswagen bug. It's the bomb. Look at all that engine space, Hans. And here's my friend Fritz to tell you more. The air-cooled engine. When you can smoke a joint, when you... What do you mean, buy now and get your gas bill free for the first 3 months? Jesus. Anyway. They took great German painters like Otto Dix, I don't know, just tremendous, brilliant men, drove them out of the country or burned their paintings. And in their place, they put all this crap up. They had this thing called the House of German Art. And, they opened it up one weekend and people went in there and looked at just utter crap. Paintings of women gathering wheat. You know, paintings of some ass going off to the factory with his lunchbox. It was kind of worker paradise stuff, you know, with a Aryan twist. They were all blonde and blue, you know. They're all going off to the factory to work for the Führer, and they all have blonde hair with the slightly Aryan. What is the Aryan face? It's kind of like a flat face, isn't it, with a sharp, thin nose. They don't breathe much, I guess, in those parts. And they have the chin that juts out. And as we found out a few months ago, apparently the German male member is smaller average, by average, than the rest of Europe because they don't fit in the condoms. This is an actual true, this is a story. It was in the news. So, you know, but that just struck me that there was all this suburban development and these marvelous little plans that they had. They had freeways, they had Volkswagens, they had a suburban plan for outside the outskirts of Munich and Berlin. And it was all going to be just this paradise of people living in their Tyrolean cottages and yodeling or something. There was just going to be yodeling. Yodeling with lederhosen and leather pants and people striding off to work with wheat shafts. And I don't know what the whole trip was. All I know is that they forced me into plays like that when I was in school, and I always begged off thinking it looked gay. These guys are like the Aryan supermen, and they're dressing in shorts with pork pie hats, and the chicks are wearing these dresses that look like they ought to be on the side of a Swiss Miss carton. And I'm supposed to go, yeah, there's the future. And they're living in their little Tyrolean houses, blowing on a horn and going, whatever the hell that thing is. What's that crap those guys sell? That Tobler candy, blowing on that big horn? They got their lips wrapped around something. It's the Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. know, every show, even though we give the phone number in the first hour, we're really not taking any phone calls. Just not because I don't love you or want to hear from you, but I'd rather hear myself talk. And we were talking here a little bit about the house. I got sidetracked into Nazi Germany. See, things like discussing homes, new decor, whether or not you ought to put a pool in, naturally winds up into a discussion of Nazis. So I don't think there's anything unusual about that. Anyway, this thing that I moved into, and the other thing that you have to understand, I never knew this. If you go to a place to order furniture, you guys go buy furniture. Where do you buy furniture? Go to an outlet place, mostly, which is what I'm going to start doing again. It's what I've done my whole life. But I don't know, for whatever reason, we went to a place that was recommended to us where you could get really nicely made furniture by ordering it. You put it on order. Now, you can buy the stuff they have on the floor, but if you want to change the upholstery, if you want to change the fabric, well, then they have to go through a whole thing. I don't quite understand it. All I know is I ordered a bed and they had to build it. I saw the bed. I said, I like that bed. All right, sir, we're going to have to go back to North Carolina and build it. Speaking of Tyrolean, they're Tyrolean peasants, German POWs, and they carve it. They plane the wood. They cut the trees down themselves. And, you know, it's really neat. It's rustic. And you won't have the bed for 8, maybe 10, maybe 12 years. But when you get it, you'll get a good night's sleep. I said, hey, when's this thing going to be here? Oh, I don't know, 6 months, 10 months? All the trees are beaver cut. Pick one out. Yes, that's right. Our beautiful trees, all beaver cut, can be yours. Beaver cut. I'm sure this is a selling point for the guy's furniture. All the wood, beaver cut, fresh. So we ordered this bed, man. It was supposed to be here back at the end of April. This thing ain't here yet. But I put a call in there today, man. I sure hope they called the house. Hey, honey, they call? What is up with that? Now I asked the guy, is this normal? Oh, yes. I ordered a dinette set. It was supposed to be here in 3 weeks. It's been 4 months. What? Why? Well, how do you know where it is? Well, you just don't. What do you mean you just don't? You don't. You don't know when it'll get here. And you pay up front for it. Yeah, you pay 50% up front. Which is what I did. I paid like 50% of the tab on this thing. And not that the bed I'm sleeping in ain't good, but it is Sears. And as you know, I'm getting rid of all things manufactured by Sears as quickly as I can. We were going to have a bonfire last week, but I don't know. I couldn't get home for that. I said, this thing's supposed to be, when's it going to get here? Seriously, we don't know. What are you telling me you don't know? So in other words, you order something, you don't know when it's going to get there. Have you ever heard of a business like this before in your life? When you ask for something, they tell you that they'll get it done, they give you a delivery date, and then they tell you, well, they may be off by about 8 months. What did we tell you? 4 weeks. It could be 12. 4 weeks and it could be 12, meaning 1 month, it could be 3? I'm just telling you this stuff to warn you. This is the crap that you're going to have to deal with eventually if you get rich. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know about the rich part. I mean, not that you won't get rich, but I don't know that it's anything that isn't people, you know what I'm saying? Okay. So there you go. I mean, that's the crap that we're dealing with. And I told my wife, you know what? We're never going to do it again as long as we live. We're not going to go through any interior decorator. We're not doing any of that. We're buying it right off the floor. We're not going to order it so that we can get a new fabric. We are getting, by the way, the guy's supposed to be in my house today tinting the windows. Get a load of that. I mean, I wouldn't tint windows in my car. Now I'm tinting the windows of my house. Oh, so swell, man. The very thing that I resisted all those years I lived in Miami, not tinting my windows in my car because I didn't want to look like some Pompano Beach Italian driving down A1A looking for all the world like a raging, flaming ass with my tinted windows that are bubbling out there in the back and those wraparound shades and this little bit of gold around the neck. You know, I like it. I like the gold. So now I got tinted windows in my house. Why? So people can't recognize anybody when they stare in there at 2 o'clock in the morning. You got tinted windows in your house? The reason why I got to tint the windows is because the back of my house faces like sunset. In other words, when the sun's setting, the temperature in my house goes to about 112 degrees Fahrenheit. And you're in there just, holy jeez, I got to, please God help me. You're saying prayers. And it's just baking in there. And all that furniture you bought, you know, the Tyrolean cut, Swiss Miss beaver cut lumber, all that crap's getting faded and destroyed by the sun, man. I feel like Dracula or something. You know, I'm burning alive. So my wife says, tint the windows. I go, you mean that cheap-ass tint job? She goes, yeah, that's the one, the cheap-ass tint job. No, tint the windows in a good way so that it doesn't look cheap. So the guy's out there supposed to be tinting the windows, and he was out last week showing me all this stuff. Here's tint here, Miss Tan. You get 44% heat reduction over here, 60% heat reduction. But it's going to smell like an inside of a dead cow. But over here, you're going to get 50% heat reduction, and the whole thing's going to look like crap. Now over here, you're going to get infrared reflection, and over there, it's... In other words, the better the tinting job and the more that you keep the sun out, the more you see a reflection of yourself at night. So it's like you have those mirrored windows. What? So you can't look out and see whatever the hell there is to see, like maybe a beautiful, you know, the stars or some crap. It looks like you're looking back at yourself like you're in an interrogation room. You see what I'm saying? So I don't know what the hell to do. I said to the guy, you know, do what you got to do, man. He goes, I have never had an instruction like that, sir. Do what you got to do. And the guy asked me, what kind of sofa would you like? Do what you got to do. Do what I got to do? You mean you want me to furnish your house just according to my mood? Is that it? Yeah, I don't care. So that's just, I don't know. I don't dig it. I ain't digging it, and that's all there is to it. There's something wrong. Maybe I'm too suspicious. I don't know. But I think somebody has given me a shank deep in the middle of my shoulder blades on this whole house we bought back in March. I feel like I've taken it in the short and curlies. Or been grabbed by. Because nothing's going right. And everything's slow. And it looks like garbage. And the place is falling apart. And the other day, I go outside to change a light bulb. I got to use one of those extension poles to change the bulb. And as I pull the bulb out, the whole fixture comes flying out of the stucco on the side of my house. What, the money I spent, don't you think those guys would put those things up right? It's like bad. Do you know what they're using on houses, by the way? Get a load of this. I bet you people don't know this. Styrofoam for the molding. When you look at the outside of a house that has molding or any kind of accentuated feature, that's not all cement. That's not wood. That's styrofoam. Why? Well, first of all, it doesn't rot. Termites can't get to it. It's fairly... styrofoam. What's the shelf life of styrofoam? 8 million years, man. You can bury that stuff, and you're gonna find it 8 million years later. Well, they are putting styrofoam in the molding on your house, so and then they cover it over with stucco. Okay, I can live with that. Whatever, you know. Spend $85 billion for a house, and they've got styrofoam. Fine, okay. Only problem is the stucco's coming off some of the styrofoam on my house. So now people are walking up, they're going, there's a little bit of styrofoam peeking out there, Phil, on your house. Didn't you tell me this was made out of wood, this house? And block and all that other crap? Yeah, I did, but I guess there's a little styrofoam thrown in there, too, and paper. Yeah, I think I see a little bit of the paper and cardboard there in your garage sticking out of the side of the wall, man. You might want to have that restuccoed. And your foundation, Phil, what's that built on? Beer cans? Yeah, you want to see my pool deck, man. It's made out of old cooler lids. God damn. Can you dig it? I'm telling you, you go buy a house, you tell me I'm wrong. You tell me I'm lying. They build them like, they don't even know how to build them anymore, man. They don't know how to build them, and they got 86 guys doing the same job. It's crap. So now I heard Clark Howard talking about this. Now they're prefabbing houses in Europe, and I'm talking about modular building of houses in factories, and they're putting them together, and you can't tell the difference between those and the ones they're building now. Only difference is the ones they're building in the factories actually last longer than 4 years. This garbage that they're building now, man, things are going to fall apart. In 2 years, I know, I'll probably have to put a new roof on this thing. Buy your whole house at IKEA and build it on your way home. And I sure hope, and I mean this sincerely, I don't mention names because there are legal ramifications. People will think that you're being slanderous or whatever. And so I'm not mentioning any names. But I hope somehow, magically, the people that built my house somehow know that I'm talking about them. Because you know what? We've been eating your crap long enough, man. And now we're banding together. And we're going to have a bonfire tonight. Anyway, we're going to burn all of our homeowners association booklets or something. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry here. Our website, philhenryshow.com. We have the best of the Phil Henry Show CD that's available to you there online just for $23.50, $3.50 shipping and handling, $20 for the CD, and you can go see that, check that out, and buy it. And it all goes to my friend's place, the Proceeds, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. I got a cold like the last 3 days. I think I got it up north with all the kids. We were with nephews, nieces, cousins, and kids on Memorial weekend having the barbecue and sitting in a spa. You know, I was making a joke about it, but we were sitting in a hot, steamy spa with about 8 bodies in it. Isn't that sort of like being on the Bataan Death March? I mean, I don't mean to minimize that horrific experience, but you're in humidity. There's a lot of other bodies. You're breathing their hot, moist, poisonous breath. And the next thing you know, I got this cold. So I'm full of sweetness and light today, aren't I? Blaming my in-laws for giving me malaria, bitching about the guy that built my house. Welcome to my world. I know it's yours. I know you guys are dealing with the same things. You spending a big piece of change on a house, don't you at least want to, you know, maybe walk in there and not have one thing go wrong in the first 48 hours? I'm not there 24 hours. And something isn't wired right. I remember when he moved into the house, they hadn't wired the refrigerator properly or something. It wasn't plugged in. It wasn't a matter of plugging it in. They had to rewire it. It was wired wrong. I stuck my hand down on the garbage disposal. It was not a good idea under any circumstances, but I figured, well, it was turned off. And there's nuts and bolts and steel and wire mesh and crap in there. Whoever the guy was that installed the garbage disposal had just gotten done finishing the cement outside. He's putting in garbage disposals. He's putting in cement block. He's paving the asphalt. He's selling the house. He's doing the gardening. I think you have a right to expect I shouldn't even say a modicum. And you know, you feel like you're asking for the world. You feel horrible that you have to keep calling them because you sound like a complainer. But I think for that bread, you have a right to ask for certain things. When I saw that cement cracked out in front of my house, I mean, these are beautiful, beautiful steps and a nice patio, and it's cracking. It's cracking. I used to be in the cement finishing business for about a year. I'm not a professional by any stretch of the imagination, but I know the people that I worked with. I know the guys that I used to work with, the cement finishers, the guys that poured it. I mean, they might as well drag you out and shoot you for pouring a job like that. Same thing with a back. And now let's go and talk about my gardener. This guy. Nah, he's okay. Except when I asked him to mow the lawn, he thought I meant burn the house down or something. I don't know what I said, would you mow the lawn? Oh, you want me to fix the garage door? No. No, that's not what I said. And I got this hillside that you got to clear off with weeds because it's fire season in California. And when we have fires out here, they are fun, aren't they? One of the fondest memories I have from my youth is sitting on the curb out in front of my house looking at the San Gabriel Mountains burning to the ground. That was like in the late 50s, huh? Remember when I was a kid?
You said it.
Yeah, seriously, man. It was like the late 1950s, and the mountains up, San Gabriel Mountains, were up in flames. And I remember saying to my mom, can I go out and watch all hell break loose? Okay, if you brush your teeth. Yes, Mom. So I ran outside, and I watched they had some fire going on up there. It's great. Only problem is I don't want to burn my house down. And it probably will, because we got all that crap out back. So I asked this guy to cut this crap back. Well, he did, except for this one area that I got to go. I'm going to go buy a weed eater and go out and cut that crap down myself. I'm going to do it all myself. I'm going to finish the pool myself. The only way you know how to do it, you know, I mean, otherwise, what? I said, look, go out there, cut that. Now, whatever, I'm complaining, aren't I? Doesn't it get a little tiring listening to a man complain? Go ahead, I know you're all saying, yes, it does, Phil. And I know you're all referencing me as the a-hole on the radio. I know. But I said it to my wife, and I love her. I love you, Maria. Baby, you know I do. But I have yet to feel comfortable in this house. It's too big. It's too barn-like. It's Not my house. Now, with time, I know, they say it takes a year. Wherever you move to, it takes about a year to get moved in. But right now, I don't like this place. And I sure don't dig the fact, after the bread that I spent walking into a bathroom, turning on a light switch and having the, you know, intermittent electric, you know, there's some connection problem. And then I got to get a switch fixed because it's cracked. And then we have to have the plumbing rerouted because you can't get any hot water. I can't get any hot water? This kid's, one of the kids came out of the bathroom crying the other day. I said, what's wrong? I can't get any hot water. It was, she was freezing her ass off. And then here's the other thing, man. It says 2 50-gallon water heaters. Found out they were 2 40-gallon water heaters. I said, oh, you made a mistake. The brochure said 2 50-gallon water heaters. Oh, yeah, that's too bad. Well, yeah, but it said 50. Oh, well, you know, hey, we gave it a shot. This is what's going on in America today. It's the, hey, we gave it a shot school of economics and everything. Hey, we gave it a shot. You said you're going to build a house with a roof on it. Well, I gave it a shot. Gave it a shot, you know. I'm going to pat you on the ass for that then. Oh, yeah, sure. Well, good for you. You gave it a shot. Hey, you owe me $500,000. Well, I gave it a shot. You still owe me $500,000. Well, I still gave it a shot. Okay, well, I'm going to pat you on the rear end and say, you're a great guy. You gave it a shot. Let me tell you something, Ace. You ain't giving nothing a shot, man. You're going to put a roof on my house. Gave it a shot. Because they want you all to feel like... weren't they fantastic that they gave it a shot? We're doing the best. That's the other one. We're doing the best we can. We're doing the best we can. And you know the standard reply is, well, your best sucks. If this is the best, you're in the wrong business. Exactly how are you supposed to respond to the phrase, I'm doing the best I can? Oh, well, you're doing the best you can. I'm sorry. I thought you were doing the worst you could, so I'm going to pat you on the head and tell you, go right ahead and continue to do the best you can while I wait here week after week, month after month, and year after year for something to get done around here. Because you're doing the best you can. Because you're overworked and you're underpaid. When I was a kid growing up here in Southern California, I went to a Catholic school. And in the grade school there, the teachers would say to my parents, you know, we are overworked and underpaid here in the Catholic school system in Southern California. Do you want to know something? They're still saying that. It's 35 years later. I got kids in Catholic school. They're still saying the same thing. We're overworked and we're underpaid. They got more freaking money than God himself over there, man. These cats, they can't put enough gold on their fingers. They can't stick enough gold in those new churches they're building, but they're overworked and they're underpaid. But you know what? They're doing the best they can. And they didn't have to pay the nuns 30 years ago, and there ain't no nuns that they can get for free. You know where I can get a nun for free? I could use a nun for free right now, man. Just do the best you can on that one, will you, Mike? Phil Henry Show. We're doing the best we can. You don't like it, you know what you can...